The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
Read together for our instruction from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 59. the 59th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and their acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquity, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, in departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, This is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and for ever. The Lord instruct us from his own word and help us in prayer. Merciful and gracious God, we come once again seeking thy help. Thou knowest how, O Lord, we are so often overcome by the power of the tempter, the power of our flesh, our deceitful heart, and of the sin that doth so easily beset us. And who shall deliver us from these things? Lord, we come as the apostle who said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for the blessedness of that Redeemer who came into this world that sinners might be saved and delivered from their lost condition. Save us, O Lord, and we shall be saved. Heal us, and we shall be healed. We do pray that there what therefore come with the with thy word, that it may be empowered in much assurance in the Holy Ghost, that the word may be applied to the hearts of the hearers, that they may be given that grace to receive it and to know the blessing of it, that it may indeed be a word of healing to the wounded soul, a word of instruction to the ignorant, a word of help to those who feel that they are poor and not able to struggle on. Oh, do, Lord, be to each according to the need. Feed the hungry with that the provender winnowed with the fan. Do, Lord, grant that there may be the thirsty satisfied with living waters, that there may be the outcasts brought in, those from the ends of the earth brought near. Lord, do have mercy, we pray. We pray that thy blessing may therefore be upon this people. Thou knowest them, O Lord. Each one of them is before thee. Thou seest, Lord, whether they have come as those that have been described. And if so, Lord, then fulfill thy good purpose. And may they know the unfolding of the promise that is given. We do, Lord, pray that thou would look upon those not able to gather at this time, those with their parental responsibilities. Oh, do bless them and the children. We do pray that thou wilt cause them to be that generation who shall serve thee and call thee blessed. Lord, we do look for that. We desire that there may be those that are raised up in the room instead of such that are removed from this present scene. Lord, surely we see many that are near in that time. And we tremble, wondering when they are gone. then how shall it be? But thou, O Lord, knowest what thou wilt do. Thy purposes, may we see them ripening fast, unfolding every hour. And, O Lord, it may be through much tribulation, yet there are those that enter into the kingdom. The kingdom which is seen here in this time state, the kingdom above, yet all of the glorious kingdom of our Lord. May there be that drawing and the bringing of the many sons unto glory, the glory of that knowledge of thy saving work and the coming and entering into that glorious state which may be the consummation of all and the joy of those that have suffered in measure here to know that unending pleasure above. And where our congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end, we are drawing now near to the end of this Sabbath day. May it not be that we then go on our way and forget, or may I awake on the morrow and I can only think and busy ourselves with the things of the week. But may there be that which abides, and we prove it to be a word which has dropped into our soul to strengthen us with all that may be before. Lord, we may not know what may be before us, but if we have that, a word to rest upon, then may it not help us in our dark and trying hour. Oh, then may we feel that it has been a word in season. We do pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon those that bear office, to help them and sustain them in their labours, and may they be enabled to be examples to the flock, as inadequate as they may feel. Indeed, who is sufficient for these things? But if their sufficiency is of thee, then there will be nothing lacking. Oh, we do pray that they may therefore often have their eyes up unto thee and prove that thou art faithful. And each Lord member of the church, and we do pray that there may be a gracious increase. The Lord, may be many temptations. We know that our arch foe would keep those from venturing in that path of humble obedience and following their Lord by open profession. May it be an exercise, Lord, with them, and not be overcome by the enemies. Insinuations which often may deter or hold back, but Lord, do freely, sweetly draw with those cords of a man, those bands of love. Enlarge their hearts that they may run in the way of those commandments and be found therefore looking unto thee, rather than trying to find some evidence in themselves Now that there will be evidence there, because the work of grace will bear its evidence and fruit. But Lord, we only are what we are, as we are in Thee, in Christ. Therefore, as it is written, in me is Thy fruit found, may it be so realized by Thy tried and tempted people. We do pray that Thou wilt be gracious and mindful, Lord, of those in affliction, those in sickness. And Lord, we know that these things, they may not just affect the old, but the young too. Lord, Thou knowest there the things that may have come, even upon a young one, and with the treatment that needs to be given. And Lord, what he may have to pass through. But all these things we know are in Thy hands. Do sanctify. And indeed sanctify, Lord, every sickness. And sanctify every trial. And may we come out the better for those things, spiritually. Oh, we do pray. We may not enter into such things, and they have no effect. But Lord, may we find that not only may we know that there is that which does bring about that difference in us, but also that it may continue. O Lord, we do pray to be preserved from slipping and from resting in the path of ease, but do stir us up that we may be ever exercised in the things of God, in the things of truth and righteousness. We do pray that there will be a gracious Lord unto those that are in bereavement. Support and comfort them in their loss. Do look upon, Lord, those that are in isolated places. They may feel that they are but a one in a city. Others singled out from their families, but one of a family. Others, Lord, may be suffering persecution. Lord, it may be from their fellows, from their friends, supposedly, from their relations. Lord, we know that these are things, they are so with Thy people because they cannot escape, because Thou hast said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But may we be of good cheer, knowing that Thou hast overcome the world. And may we feel, O Lord, that there is sometimes a quietening of the tongues of those that would speak so readily against us. And could it please Thee, O Lord, that they, by our good works, not the works of the flesh, but the work of Thy gracious Spirit, which is to be evidenced in our walk, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We pray to be preserved from bringing dishonour upon thy worthy name and upon thy cause. And if, Lord, we are left to it, hear us then when we confess. Give us that true repentance and godly sorrow, and blot out our transgressions, removing them as far as the east is from the west. So, Lord, do now pardon us of our every sin, and make up in giving where we fail in asking. As we ask these things in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 550. My soul rejoice and sing thy Father's glorious praise, and let his precious love employ thee all thy days. Proclaim with honour to his name that God is love and still the same. 550.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would again direct your attention to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, and the 13th verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, and the 13th verse. We find that the enemy of our soul will seek to come in like a flood. But when he does, then the Spirit of the Lord lifts up that standard against him to say, first of all, thus far shalt thou come and no further. Here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Satan is only able to do as much as is permitted by Almighty God. He may seek to bring Job down to nothing, but though he may try him and tempt him, he could not touch his life. Neither can he touch the life of any of the Lord's people, because the work that is begun in them is that work of eternal life. And if therefore he has begun it, then it cannot perish. But he may tempt you with the thought, or is it begun? Well, the Lord will confirm his own evidence. He has given us the Spirit as a witness with our spirit. And there will be the times when the Spirit will evidence a work in our hearts which cannot be contradicted. What brings a poor sinner to his knees? What brings a poor sinner to cry out for mercy? What brings a poor sinner to wrestle at the throne of grace? Under that sense of his wretchedness and sin, what causes him to cry for deliverance, knowing his own weakness in himself? Then, if these things are so, it is not the work of the flesh. Look at the confident professor who would say his prayers and think that it is an easy pass. Well, think that he has received the answers to those petitions and never have any doubts. But when assailed with doubts and fears, we then find that the fear nots which are spoken throughout the scripture are the confidence which will cause the enemy to lose its strength. God has spoken of fear not. Joshua may indeed have feared to have stood in Moses' place and to continue in leading the children of Israel through the Jordan, the river that divided them from the promised land. And it may perhaps be said, and how shall we do in the swellings of Jordan? They were the swellings at that very time, but God made a way. God made a way for them to pass over. And whatever Satan may say, he will make a way for his people to pass over. And then he may have feared the men, the cities, those that were in it. Yet the Lord gave him that word, fear not, be of good courage. And we find that the psalmist takes up also, as he speaks to his own soul, when he says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There have none perished who have waited there. And therefore, he gives, through the apostle, this encouragement, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, because he puts that fear in your soul. There is a trembling at his word. There is a waiting upon him. There's a pleading of his precious name. There is that coming with confession and true godly sorrow and repentance over what you have been, what you are. And it is that these temptations are common to man. But if the Lord has kept and preserved you from gross sin, yet you find there are still those little foxes that spoil the vines, that affect the tender grapes, the tender graces of your soul. But though they may be tender, and it seems easily affected, yet we know that where there is the fear of the Lord, there is wisdom. Where there is wisdom, there is understanding. Understanding that the Lord's ways are past finding out, but he will find a way of deliverance, a way where there is no way. The way which we may say the vulture's eye has not seen, nor has the lion's whelp trodden in it, but a way that the righteous have walked, the way that the witnesses have gone. Wherefore, seeing ye have so great a cloud of witnesses, and we have those witnesses, that though faith was their strength, yet they were not without their trial, they were not without their opposition, they were not without their temptation, they were not without their falls at times. Moses himself fell. Angered with the people, he struck the rock. And God had spoken plainly to him to speak to the rock. And we may perhaps in a fit of passion find that we do something of the kind. And it is the arrogance of the flesh to think that we know better. And though Moses, he suffered for it, but the Lord made that way to escape. He may not go into the natural Canaan, but he was not barred from heaven. He may indeed have missed, as it were, some earthly comfort or blessing, but the Lord had something better in store for him. There is no excuse for us to sin, nor to make an excuse for our sins, but it is the Lord's gracious overruling. It is his long-suffering goodness toward us that he does not deal with us according to our sin. He may deal with us in measure, but it is in measure. We read, as it comes to mind, in that 27th chapter of Isaiah, where it says, "He has smitten him as he smote those that smote him. Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, there will debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of his east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. The groves and the images shall not stand up." And so it goes on. The Lord brings down those things, but he will not destroy his people. He will not have it to be destroyed, because there is that good thing in it, the good work of his own gracious hand and spirit. Therefore, he will make that way to escape. But we may ask, how was it that there is a way to escape? Moses saw it in those offerings that were offered, the importance of the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. And so, is not this the means whereby a poor sinner may escape from under that power of temptation, which he may be subject to because of the weakness of the flesh? But God, sending his own dear Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, to condemn sin in the flesh, so that he may be to them righteousness, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that we might live through him. We are slain through our own iniquity, but he raises us up through his own atoning work, through his justifying grace, through his resurrection power, through the life that he gives. And therefore, there is that deliverance. And that way to escape. Now, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. There is therefore that given which will be able to resist. What is it? If we have nothing in ourselves, then we must be overcome. What is it that he gives us so that we shall not be tempted above what we are able to bear, above what ye are able? It is that faith, that God-given faith, the faith that looks out of self unto him, the faith that beholds the one who bore and bears our sin, who bore our sins rather in his own body when he hung upon the tree. The one who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. To see him therefore there in the wilderness, tempted of the devil, but he was able to answer with his own word. That word that may be put into our souls through the by the Spirit, through the grace of that faith, to believe the word of God, so that we may say to the tempter, when we may seem to be cast down and brought to nothing, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I am down, I shall arise, and when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. See then that he will not permit us to be tempted above what we are able. Ah, little faith. Do not despise little faith. With some he may give much and great faith, but do not despise those that have little faith. They may seem to be weak. Weak in themselves they are. But the weaker in yourself you are, the more the strength you will need to draw from him. And how shall we draw strength from him but by this God-given faith? To look, therefore, unto him who is able to deliver, able to save us. Well, what a blessing it is then that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He has given a provision. He has given that provision which we may have to view. That is our conquering head, and the wherewithal that we may view it, not with our mortal eyes, not with our natural abilities, but to look by that blessed faith to him in the day of our trouble. We may perhaps feel that we are being cast to the ground, brought to the borders of the pit, yet he will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able. For there, as the hymn writer puts it, from the borders of the pit to look to his recovering grace. And now there is something else that I want to mention with regard to this. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, because of his drawing love. It is he that draws us to himself. And in drawing us to himself, he puts us in his pavilion, as the psalmist considers it. He hides us under his wing. He gathers us there. He puts us in the cleft of the rock. And he is a hiding place unto his people. A man shall be a hiding place from the storm. And how we have proved it at times, when things have become too much for us, he has put us in that place, that place of refuge, so that we may escape from the power of him who pursues and seeks after our soul and delivers us out of the power of that temptation. Ah, when we find there is that which will pursue us even to death, yet can they touch us? Not when we have a bleeding Saviour, a wounded side to which we can fly. Oh, what a blessed thing it is that we have such a place by me, that we may not be consumed in that wrath which we deserve. And being caught in the temptation and in the snare, would it not be just if God should condemn us out and out? But he makes that way to escape in the very merits of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, he will not suffer you therefore to be tempted above what ye are able. We put in that little word above. I know it's not here, but we emphasise that word above, though it may only be a small word, to suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Ah, then it is the enemy's desire to do all he can to tempt you to such a degree that there will be no hope. And he will tell you there's no hope. But the Lord's word is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able. That which ye are able to bear. And these things, they are hard to bear, aren't they? Can we bear them? We feel we will succumb under them. It's too great for us. We are too weak. We prove our own insufficiency. But we prove there is a sufficiency whereby he will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. But I want to bring us to this. The Lord will bring that, will open up that way to escape by his drawings, but also by his chastening. When the Lord chastens us, it is for our profit. It is by those chastenings that we are then humbled. Now, one that is ready to turn again unto his God is one where there is a humbling, a work within the soul. Pride would keep us from owning up that we have offended or that we have succumbed to the tempter's power. We do not want to be found out. That is how it is with our nature. But when the Lord brings us into affliction of one kind or another, when he brings us into those trials, when he causes such things to arise that strip us of all our fancied goodness, and we are therefore brought and found and felt to be naked before his all-searching eye, then is there not that gracious humbling of our hearts before him? Now the Lord, he looks to that humble spirit. To this man will I look, to him that is of a broken and contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. It is by that chastening hand, and when he brings those afflictions upon us, he uses them to that end, that we may then come readily confessing our sin. And now, if we confess our sin, what an encouragement that is. If we confess our sin, that is not to cast an uncertainty upon it, as many an if may, rather the contrary. The blessing of encouragement. If we confess our sin, to cause our feet, therefore in a manner of speaking, to run there to the mercy seat, made ready to confess. And now, not to do it shamelessly, as some would, but to bow our head before the Almighty, to beat upon our breast, there to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For that confession, we shall be deeply affected within our own souls. There we will have to complain of the awful malady as we seek to apply to the sacred remedy. There we come pleading and seeking mercy, knowing that there is sufficient mercy in our God, a fullness of mercy. Now the door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. None need a fear when under that sense of a desire to confess their sin before God, not to confess it before men. We are too ashamed. It is rightly to be ashamed to confess it before men, but we may confess it freely before our God. There's such a difference, isn't there? We may be ashamed to confess it before men, knowing what their reproaches will be. But we come and confess it before God, knowing there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. If thou shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That is the means of escape. That is the way to escape. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. And what do we see in that forgiveness? You will know that he then has borne the punishment in your stead. He has suffered for your sake, and he has shed that precious atoning blood, that which can wash away your sin and every sense of guilt, that he may present you faultless through his own merits. He who has satisfied the holy Lord of God, he who has satisfied holy justice, he who has satisfied his dear Father, the one who delights in his only begotten Son, whom he sent to bring about this reconciliation of those that had gone away, but now brought again through the gracious the teaching of the Spirit that takes of the things of Jesus Christ to reveal them unto us, makes this way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. You'll be able to bear, you know, whatever may come, when you have a little faith's view of the one afflicted for your sakes. In all their afflictions he was afflicted. To see one therefore suffering for you. Ah, what were his sufferings compared with what you may for your misdemeanors, hearkenings to the tempter who has drawn you, persuaded you into that which is not honouring to God. The times when you may have slipped, like Asaph, but when he entered into the house of God and saw what was there to be accomplished in that way of offering, sacrifice. He knew he needed a sacrifice. He saw the end of the wicked. They have no offering, no sacrifice. That was the case of the in Egypt. There was no sacrifice, but there was in Goshen. There had been the slaying of the lamb. And now, being brought to see by faith the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. My sin, your sin, brought under the solemn trembling of the fact that you are a sinner, taught so by the Holy Ghost, and now brought to the footstool of his mercy. And you see the afflictions of him who was afflicted for you. And you will then be able to endure. You will endure those things which you could not possibly have done. You'll be able to bear with the temptation in this sense, that you will resist it. You will resist it. Shall we grieve him further? Shall we pierce him more? What a mercy it is that all our sins which were laid upon him, he knew the measured strokes for each and every one of them. By his stripes we are healed. Not therefore a sin that must be atoned for. There is not one where there's not been the stroke laid upon him. But my soul, I know this, that if for my sins he bore the strokes of those sins, then there is not one that has been overlooked. There is not one that he has not suffered for me. There is not one wherein that blood was shed ineffectually. Oh no, it was effectual. The blood that was shed is the blessed balm that heals my sin-sick soul. And every wound that sin hath made. And therefore, we will know enduring grace. We look to the patience of Christ. That is how you will bear it, under patience. Let patience have its perfect work. How does patience have its perfect work? Because patience is tested and tried. And the Lord permits Satan to test us and to try us, as he did with Job. There we have the example where Job was exposed to every effort of Satan to make him curse God and die. But Job, he could not. He dare not. He did not. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? When all that was removed and taken away, the grace that God gave Job is only by grace. We can only say these things by grace. But the grace he gave Job enabled him to say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin. Job was one that endured. He endured through that God-given patience. Oh, what a blessing then, when he gives us that patience. It is a rare gift, you know. Patience. I want to link it with another rare jewel, and that is contentment. You know, when there is patience, you will also find there is contentment. Contentment with our lot. And whatever the Lord may bring upon us, if he gives us that contentment to endure, we will find that we bear with the trouble far more easily. That is the taking of my yoke upon you and learning of me. That is in this extremity that you're in this trial of your faith, in this time of temptation, to cast that burden upon your Lord and Saviour. You may say, but I come to try and do it. And oh, I seem to carry it away again. If only I could leave it there. Well, When the Lord gives you that sweet, submissive spirit to bear with all that the Lord may permit to be laid upon you, you will then be given the grace to lay it upon him. I believe I know a little of what I'm speaking about. But how often do we find that the burden is such that we cannot carry it ourselves anymore? Well, we have to often confess that ours is an easy lot, and therefore we become complacent. We become unconcerned. We grow cold. We settle upon our knees like Moab until the Lord brings something which then works for our good. We may have thought in our ignorance and foolishness that our path was easy, but the easy path, you know, is when you have been brought to cast all upon him. And in the midst of your great trouble, you may walk feeling that the Lord is carrying you. He carries us to hoar hairs. He carries his people through. Underneath are the everlasting arms. That's easily said. It's different to prove it. But have you proved that the Lord carries you? He will not carry, you know, in any light way. No, he carries those that he knows are in their great need, because he's laid it or permitted it to be laid upon you. But he will not cause or permit such temptation, or we may also embrace such trial, to be laid upon you above what you are able to bear, able to sustain. He gives the sustaining grace for the trying day, for the trying hour. And you will prove it is all sufficient grace. Therefore, the more we need that grace, the more he will be willing to give it, that we may be able to bear what is laid upon us. And to give us that way whereby we can escape from the intolerable load, that which we cannot bear. But he has borne. He bears all his people's cares and concerns, and he would have them to come and to cast it upon them. Therefore, he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Then we can bear. He gives us that sweet place to lie down in, pastures green, and beside the still waters. It is a psalm that is often sung by many professors and even worldlings. A psalm that is often sung at funerals. But what do we know of it? When you're brought into these times of temptation, when you are brought into these times of great opposition and trial, you then need a shepherd. And you'll prove you have a shepherd. You'll prove that you have a shepherd who was also smitten. Smite the shepherd. The sheep shall be scattered. And they were scattered, every one to his own. But the Lord will gather them. And now he leads them. He leads them forth. He takes them into the places where they may find that rest and relief. And when they have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, they may then fear no evil because of his pledged presence. I am with thee. I will be with thee. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. This was the word that Peter speaks of to encourage those of his, I say Peter, I think it's the Apostle Paul in the Epistle to the Hebrews. It doesn't matter where it is, you know, that it is said, those words, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Yes, it is in leave it. But what a mercy it is that the Lord speaks those words at such a time when we're passing through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death, not death itself. There may be the death of the body. We shall come to that article, to that time when we shall have to die. But there's a passing through. The soul will find its liberation, will find its a blessed place that it will soar to, and there enter into the glories, the felicity, the peace, the blessing, the fullness of its desire. For the quickened soul desires heaven. And there are some occasions, rare as they may be, when you may have desired heaven. But when you come to that moment, I believe that that is what constitutes an abundant entrance. That the desire of your soul for heaven is suddenly realized. You may have been passing through great darkness. You may have been suffering great temptation. Satan may have troubled you almost to the last moment. But in that moment of God's deliverance, you enter into heaven with an abundant entrance, and there your soul's expanded on yonder shores of bliss. Well, what an escape, and what grace is given to bear it. I must conclude. I conclude with the last words of that psalm, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Corrections last Lord's Day amounted to £710, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parish next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. 303.
Thank you.
eyes are seen amiss in us. What, Lord, has been in faith, receive. Take us on our way to our abode in peace and safety. Keep us through another week of time. And may it be thy good pleasure, O Lord, to appear where we are in need, when we are in need, and supply us according to it. And now, may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.